Message of great hope, and a message which would, when we see how God works things, it would be an encouragement to just trust Him, even though things don't necessarily look the best at times. And so that's what I wanted to read, or I felt to read this, starting in verse number 1 of Luke 2. Very, very familiar, especially this time of year. And it says this, Luke 2, verse 1. Now, let's pray. Bow our heads before we do that. Father, we come to you, and we thank you for your greatness, and Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask you that you would allow me to deliver your word, to bring hope and encouragement to all of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting in verse number 1, it says this, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And I also want to, I think we'll jump to Micah chapter 5, in verse number 2, Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, which is a prophecy about the coming Messiah. We just read how how his birth came to be. This is a prophecy about that. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. It says this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." The second in Micah actually says that the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, Jesus, as we know, is going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now we know that. We've all been in church for many, many years. We understand that. But what we might not realize and might not quite understand is that from where Joseph and Mary lived to Bethlehem was a very long way. And it might not be long by our standards, but by the standards of walking or riding on a donkey, that is very long. It's around a 70-mile trip. So, here the Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. Because the prophecy of the Old Testament that we just read says he's going to be born there. So think of this. Think of the situation that we have here. We have the Word of God telling us something has to happen. It's God's plan. It's God's will. It's what He has stated will happen. And Mary, she is now in her third trimester. She is, as the Bible says, great with child. And now they are 70 miles away from where they need to be. They are a long way away from where they actually need to be. Something needs to shake them up and get them to where they need to be. And here is this ungodly king. An ungodly king declares a tax which forces them to move from one place to another. Now, where is their hope in this message? The hope that comes to my mind is that even though something might look impossible, because on the outset, a young mother, or a young mother-to-be, first child, they're probably not thinking. It's probably looking impossible, like it's going to happen that she's going to have that baby in Bethlehem. She is a long way away, There's no easy way of getting there. And it looks like it would be nearly impossible for this prophecy to come true. But the hope is that if God wants something to happen, He can make it happen. Even though it looks like everything is against you, even though it looks like there is no way for it to come true, even though it looks like everything is stacked up so that it's not going to happen, God knows how to make it happen. God knows how to bring things to pass. If it's God's will and it's God's plan, He can make it come to be, regardless of anybody around it, regardless of all the obstacles, regardless of how bad it looks. Now, as you go into the new year, you could think of it, think of your own impossible situations. You could think of your own situations which you might have given up hope on. You could think of your own situations which you say, this could hardly change. I don't see any way for it to change. And you could think about how God is able to change any situation. If you believe that God has given you a word, if you believe that God has given you a promise, I would say, don't give up on it yet. If you believe that the word of the Lord to you, and this is very personal, I cannot tell you necessarily what the word of God is to you prophetically, yes, of course, but many times God will speak something to you. It will be very individual. It will be very personal. It will be very applicable to your situation, your life, because God knows where you are, what you're doing, what you're thinking, what your plans are, what He has created you for. And He tells people, and it is certainly a desire for people to realize that and be looking to God for what is He speaking to you personally. If God speaks those kinds of things, many times they do not come to pass right away. It is a pattern throughout the Bible that from the time God gives a promise, God gives something, He often tells people, this is going to happen in your life. Usually what happens if you follow the biblical pattern is when God gives a promise, until the time it actually comes to pass, the exact opposite happens. It's a biblical pattern. It's a biblical pattern. Joseph is told that he has dreams where his family and the stars are going to bow down to him. But instead of getting that, he actually gets thrown into prison. He actually gets sold off into slavery. He is completely forgotten. He gets the exact opposite of what he was promised. David is told, you're going to be king. He's actually anointed king. And then from the time he's anointed king until he actually becomes king, it is many years. And in that time, he is just completely on the run, running from a crazed king. From the time he gets the promise until the time he inherits the promise, you often get exactly opposite of the promise. You could go on and on and on and find this pattern repeated throughout the Bible. And so it is very easy to apply that same principle to our lives. You might be promised something, but from the time you're given that promise until the time you receive that promise, you might be getting the exact opposite. You might be in the place where you're wondering, was that even true? How is it possible? How is God going to break this to pass? Why is it so opposite than what I would thought was going to be? And to that, we look at this passage of Scripture and we say, it might look impossible, but God knows how to bring it to pass. God knows how to make things happen. Here we have even an ungodly king, the emperor of Rome, Caesar Augustus. He wasn't Julius Caesar, but he was one of the successors of Julius Caesar. He declares a tax which is going to now force Joseph and Mary to move. It just shows the power of God that the Bible actually says in Proverbs that God holds the heart of a king in his hand. And he can move it whatever way he wants. It's in Proverbs 21. God holds the heart of a king in his hand, whether it's godly or ungodly. God knows how to move people to do things so that his will can come to pass. God knows how to move godly people. He knows how to move ungodly people. He knows how to make his will come to pass. And it might look like an impossible thing to Joseph and Mary. Who knows, or to those who were Bible scholars at the time, they would be, well, of course, Joseph and Mary are the only ones who know that the Messiah is going to be born at this point. It might look impossible. What is going to cause us to actually have to be in Bethlehem? It would not be a natural thing to actually go there. It would not be a natural thing, but yet God moves on the heart of someone who is completely removed from their situation and forces them to actually make this trip. God could do the same in your life. God could do the same. We might think there's no way. There's no way I'm going to get help from this person. There's no way that this situation is going to be. And God can move in the hearts of men and women to accomplish His will in our lives as well. Nothing is impossible with Him. The next thing is God knows about the timing of the situation. It is an incredible thing that this census was declared. Mary was ready to give birth to Jesus, and it all happened at the exact time. Because God's timing, even though it's often not our timing, even though it's often much later than we would want it to be, God knows how to make things happen in the time that is needed to happen. We might think, oh God, it would be so great if this would happen right now. And He might still wait. He might still have a plan to wait. Because often in those times between the promise and the inheritance of the promise, God is working something out in our life. He's not just doing it to punish us. He's not just doing that to tease us. He's not just holding a carrot so that we keep on following Him. He is changing our character in the meantime. If David was to inherit the promise of being a king before he went through the years and years of struggle, he would be a different person when he became king. See, that happened to Saul. Saul was given a promise, and then he became king right away. And he was not able to handle it because the character was not built up in him. Often those wilderness times, often those times when we're waiting on the promises, build up character in us so that we are ready to inherit that promise and we can sustain that promise when we do inherit it. There is a plan, even though we often do not see it, there is a plan in God's, or there is a method to His ways, even though we do not often see it. The other thing about this trip, and you could look at our lives, is this was not an easy trip. This was not an easy journey from Galilee, from Nazareth over to Bethlehem. It was not an easy trip. Not only was it a long trip, a 70-mile trip, at least maybe it was more like 80, but we'll say 70. You could Google it. You could do all that. You could have fun. Thank you. Nicely done. Wow. Okay. Didn't know we had that. So, really, that's kind of cool. Okay. So anyway, that's a long trip. And in the middle of that trip, so leave that up there for a second. In the middle of that trip, you can see that there's mountains. There are many mountains through that. They're called the Judean Mountains. The Judean Mountains are actually in between Nazareth and Bethlehem. It wasn't an easy trip by any stretch of the imagination. Could you imagine, especially you mothers who have delivered a child, I guess that would be all mothers, have delivered a child. If your husband came to you in your last trimester and said, "You know what? We got to take a 70-mile trip. It's going to be on foot, and we're going to be walking through mountains." I'm not sure how that night would go for that man. If that is the message that he delivered to you and said, "Yeah, we're going to do this." Or if you would even have the strength to do it, if you would even have the endurance to do it. Let's just do a little bit of understanding of this issue. Because let's say a person walks at 2 or 2.5 miles an hour. If we were to walk 8 hours a day, At that rate, it would take 4 days of walking 8 hours a day to actually cover this journey. And maybe if you're on a donkey, it would be even slower, because I'm not sure that they walk as fast as us or are as cooperative as we are. A four-day journey walking 8 hours a day, this is not easy. This is not pleasant. This is not something that you would even want to do if you were fully healthy, let alone carrying a child. The point is that oftentimes, even though we're marching towards God's plan, it might not be easy. There is no guarantee that life will be smooth. There is no guarantee that things will be just, even if it's God's plan, because I know sometimes we think that if God wants it to happen, everything is going to be so smooth, all the path is going to be straight, there are going to be no obstacles in the way. Well, that's just not a biblical pattern. Many times when it's God's plan, you have even more obstacles in your way. Sometimes there's mountains in the way. Sometimes there's mountains to climb. Just as it was for Mary and Joseph. There were mountains to be climbed, and we know that there are often many mountains in our own life. There are mountains to climb, and we could hold on, and we cannot be discouraged. We should not be discouraged by mountains that come in our life, by obstacles that come in our life. Even though we know or we believe that it's God's will that we should be doing something and we should be marching towards something, there might be some difficult times. It's not necessarily easy. But through it all, God gives strength and God gives grace and God gives the endurance and God gives the confidence to march through, even though it looks very daunting. And through all that, the message is still God knows how to bring about what looks impossible. He still knows how to do it. And sometimes it's just through giving you strength day after day. And sometimes it's just through giving you endurance day after day to go on to reach the final destination of where His promised land is for you. Or His promised His promise for you is. He knows how to move. He knows how to move men. He knows how to time things perfectly. He knows how to get us through all of our mountains. He knows how to, he even, as I think about it, for Jesus to be born in the manger, with no room in the inn, He not only moved the heart of the emperor, but he moved all kinds of other people. He moved people from many other parts of the Middle East so that they would be in Bethlehem too. The inn was filled because of that text. It wasn't just Mary and Joseph that were moved, but it was many people, so that Jesus would be born the way that He was born. God's plan is amazing. God's plan is incredible. And sometimes in our lives, it's hard to see. But we look at the Bible and we say, this is the way God operates. And if this is the way God operated in the past, this is the way He still could operate. He has many different ways of doing things, but we often see patterns like this in the Bible where He moves along these kinds of lines. And He knows how to move us. And He knows how to get us from one place to another. And sometimes it might not be the easy road. Sometimes it might be a job change. Sometimes it might be a sick relative. Sometimes it might even be something that's wrong in your own body. And sometimes, you know, a door will be closed and maybe another door will be opened. And when these things happen, we see God just moving things, causing us, like Joseph and Mary, to get up out of our Nazareth comfort and move to some place that is more like where His promise is. He forces us to say it's time for you to do something a little different. And we might not want to do that. We might not want that other job. We might not want this period in our life where we have a little extra responsibility. We might not want to take care of that relative that is sick. We might not want to do all kinds of things that God throws in our way. It might not be easy, but God still knows how to move us into His will. The one thing that is very consistent, and I see it in my life all the time, is if God wants to do something in my life, I want the straightest path possible. I want the straightest path possible to make it happen. I know it might not be the best thing to admit, but I am not an enjoy the journey kind of guy. I'm not the kind of person that smells the roses on the path. I like to be where I'm supposed to be. I like to be at the end. I like to be at the destination. Once I get a goal, I like to be there. I don't necessarily, you know, enjoy the journey. That's not a good thing. I'm not saying we should do that. It's a bad thing. And it's certainly not a God thing either, because God always seems to put twists and turns in the path. We say, we get a promise from God. We want that promise right away. We want the shortest possible path to get that. And many of the times, God has this winding road that we have to take to get to what He promises. They're very seldom in the Bible, but very seldom in the Bible is the path that straight. There's usually a journey, and we have to become comfortable with the journey. We have to be able to rest while we're in the journey. We have to be able to still be joyful in that journey as God leads us from our Nazareth to Bethlehem. He still knows how to take care of things. He still knows how to do the impossible. He still knows how to open the doors. He still knows how to close the doors. He still knows how to bring things to pass. And it probably isn't going to be easy, and it's probably not going to be as quick as you want. But things in God's time, He does do them. And we might not see it. We might not see where God is going, but this is where our trust comes in. There is hope in God. There is trust in God. There is an expectation of Him doing good. We have to continue to believe, and we have to continue to trust, even though we don't see the end, even though we don't see how it could come to pass, even though we don't know what God will have in store for us tomorrow. Our job is to keep our trust in God. Our job is to keep our hope in God. Our job is to keep believing that He is able to do things even when we can't see them done, or even when we can't see how they could possibly be accomplished. God knows how, and it is our job to trust in Him as we go along, even though we might be going through the mountains. And in the end, He knows how to bring us to the place that He wants to bring us. So let's trust in Him. Let's hope in Him. If you're facing something that is difficult and you can't see the way out, trust in the Lord. There is hope in Him. Nothing is too difficult for Him. He is able to accomplish all things. And may His name be praised.